From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the third day of June 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. We'll discuss the weather forecast, too, that with Eric Snodgrass of Nutrient Ag Solutions and Agrible. He's from right here in Champaign County, Illinois. Along the way today, if you can stay with us for the whole hour, you'll hear Commodity Week in its entirety, otherwise a portion of it this afternoon, and many of these radio stations will carry it over the weekend as well. It's always up online at willag.org, willag.org. Our panelists this week include Ellen Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois, Jim McCormick of agmarket.net in Barrington, Illinois, and in Mansfield, Illinois, Brian Stark of the Andersons. And it all comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, July corn for the day settled at $7.27, down 3.25 a bushel. December at $6.94, a quarter lower for the new crop. July soybeans down 31.5 cents, settled at $16.97¾. In November, $15.27, new crop down 14¾ cents. Bean meal, $7 lower. The bean oil finished up 41 cents in the July, but the August on out were lower. Wheat futures in the July contract at $10.40, down 18¼ for the soft red, and the hard red at $11.22½ cents lower. Live cattle futures at $133.85, down 27½ cents. Feeders were up 92½. They finished at $173.87½. And lean hogs at $110.75 per 100 pounds were $1.42½ lower on the day. Crude oil up $2.04 at $118.91. And the wholesale price of gasoline, 6½ cents higher for the day. Mike Zuzulo at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, now joins us to take a look at the marketplace for the day and the week. Hi, Michael. Thank you for being with us.
Great to be with you, Todd. As we were talking about a little bit before we went on air, it might be wise for us to turn this Friday afternoon show into more like a gardening show instead of a market show.
I know. The markets are, well, they've been interesting this week. How did the week end? And was it different than you expected?
Well, no, I think the difference in expectations for me was after last week, because 2 weeks ago I was thinking that with the Indian wheat export ban, we'd rally into the Memorial Day holiday. And when we didn't see that, I felt like, okay, wheat is now the leader to the downside. And when I reflect on what has caused this, while the headline news continues to pound the Russian shipping corridor and shipping lane. And that was, again, very much in the news this morning. And Paris wheat commentary suggested that's one of the reasons why Paris wheat gave up its gains as it closed out the week earlier this afternoon. I really think it boils down to the exports. And I think that's where my focus with clients, especially this weekend and on the newsletter and in copy, will be the export sales that we got a day late because of the holiday. And with week 52, was this week for the wheat marketing year, we ended up being down 10%. And that compares to the soybeans being up about 2% with, you know, quite a bit of the marketing year left. So I would say my sense is still that the shipping lane opening up, food and grains getting to the world, unlikely still. Yes, it can get to Syria. In fact, there's reports that Russian grain is in Syrians' hands. And even the ambassador to Ukraine said that Russia's stealing Ukrainian grain and getting it out to other areas through Crimea. And he says that including Turkey, they're taking grain in. So I think this is where, to me, the market maybe is off still in terms of taking the premium out based upon that, whereas the demand side of the equation clearly has been disappointing.
Is the break in the soybeans because vegetable oil would be available coming out of the Ukraine-Russia area? Their sunseed production is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I think that's a real possibility. I think also the three main things that have helped the soybeans has been the Indonesian palm oil ban, the Brazilian real being strong, obviously what's going on in the Baltic, and I guess a fourth one that is related to the overall market is the strength in the crude oil market. And Indonesia did say they were going to let go of some exports of palm oil this morning, And I think that hurt the market. I think the other thing that hurts the market, other than what you just said, Todd, is the idea that the currency relationships look to be shifting a little bit, and the Brazilian currency could be seeing some better price action for the dollar against the real. But I think the reason the beans have been standing up so well, again, I think the main reason has been the crude relationship, the veg oil relationship, and that export demand relationship. But as we've seen probably three or four times now in the last 3 or 4 months, is that soybeans can get up to some key resistance levels, but to be able to take those resistance levels out, you really need all boats being lifted by a rising tide, and meaning wheat and corn need to be supportive at that stage.
Here in the Eastern Corn Belt, if we look out the back door, we realize that everything's been planted. Growing degree days haven't been piling up all that quickly, but we do have plenty of moisture around at this point. Do things look different out your back door?
No, in fact, they're getting more and more ideal, other than the drowned out spots from excess rain. And we may have some nitrogen leaching as well as we get into the month of June if we continue with this rainfall pattern. But I going on 10 years living out here in northeast Kansas, I cannot believe how much rain we've been able to receive in April and May, and the crop stands look phenomenal. I drove from Atchison down to St. Louis last weekend. I'll do it again this weekend and take the northern route. Last weekend, there were noticeable areas of being behind when it comes to planting. And I would say that was probably 2/3 of the crop from Atchison down to St. Louis, Todd. That's probably the biggest thing I'll be watching, is how far behind we are. But here again, cooler, wetter weather may allow that crop to catch up rather quickly, as opposed to really super hot and dry weather. That'd be my guess.
Interesting. So when you take all of this into consideration, what do grain and oilseed producers in the United States think about, if anything, related to new crop sales?
Yeah, great question. I think when it comes to new crop sales, you want to, I think, generally speaking, keep things in the paper position area, because I still think this is a correction, not a top at this point. Todd, I think we still have a lot of weather to trade around the world and even here in the United States. I think the futures market could break on investor-led moves down, I think, like what we're seeing right now, whereas the cash market should remain very, very firm unless we see a big policy shift. I think this is one of those markets where we've lost key trendline support levels in soft red wheat and corn, and hard red wheat and soybeans closed out this week testing the same type of trendline support levels. And there's some air below these markets if we take those out and those commodities. And so I think a 10% correction can't be ruled out at all. And I think that's kind of what you plan for, since we're in the month of June, especially given that we've got that WASDE report next week. So unless you hold fast on that WASDE report or some weather or something like that, I think you get defensive, but you'd be ready to pull some stuff off if you get a correction.
Crude oil, we're trying to get to that 120 level again today. Hasn't made it yet. Will it punch through?
I think it will, because of what's happening in it's the reverse market of 2008. The crude led the product markets. This time around, unleaded and heating oil and diesel are leading the crude, and they're just not slowing down as far as price rallies and new record highs in the form of unleaded in the cash market. And so I think they'll just keep pulling the crude oil up. This week, OPEC said they were going to pump more production. I think that maybe stalled out the crude oil a little bit. But as long as the products keep going up and the demand still looks good for those products, I don't know why crude would want to back down, other than, again, like corn and wheat, maybe more of an investor type correction, an investment play on inflation or something like that.
The consumer complains about the price, but still putting gas into the tank, apparently.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Nice to be with you. Have a great weekend.
You too, Mike. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Well, there's an article posted to the Farm Doc Daily website this week that I think you should read. It asks this question: our long-run price is still $4 for corn, $10 for soybeans, and $5.50 for wheat. In it, agricultural economist Gary Schnitke and the ag economist from the University of Illinois, along with Carl Zuloff, professor emeritus from the Ohio State University, write both USDA and CBO forecast methods have prices moving lower after a higher period in 2021 and 2022. They say this is a reasonable belief and modeling result. particularly given that historical changes in long-run prices occur only occasionally and are usually associated with a sustained change in demand. They write that movements back to 2006-2020 averages suggest that the current robust market resulting from China and the Ukraine-Russia conflict are transitory and will also result in growth in agricultural output, leading again to lower prices. And they say if prices do indeed move back to the 2006-2020 averages, adjustments in the agricultural sector will also need to occur. In Illinois, for instance, the 2022 break-even price for corn is projected at $4.73 a bushel and $11.06 for soybeans. Both of those break-even prices are above price projections by USDA and CBO in years after 2024, suggesting that cost will need to be reduced. Current events contributing to strong commodity prices are also leading to higher production cost, particularly for inputs like fertilizer and other chemicals. While a component of these cost increases may also be transitory, additional adjustments are also likely to be needed, say the Ag Economist, if commodity prices return to lower levels as projected. Lower returns are usually associated with downward pressure on cash rental rates, which then could lead to farmland price declines. Still, those ramifications are in the future, they write. The timing of price declines is uncertain. The Ukraine-Russia war could have much longer-run impacts than are currently anticipated. And how inflation and other events play out is also uncertain. You may read this article on the FarmDoc Daily website now if you'd like. It's also on our website at willag.org. Look for the title, Are Long-Run Prices Still $4 for Corn, $10 for Soybeans, and $5.50 for Wheat? On this Friday, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Eric Snodgrass is here. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Hi, Eric. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
Well, let's start with the month of May. It's completed, but maybe we ought to take a look back at it, please.
Yeah, so throughout the month of May, we saw a pretty unique thing that, I'll be honest, I haven't seen in spring in a long time, and that is this just almost persistent, long, extended west to east flowing bit of the jet stream that starts. I mean, you could trace it as far back as Africa, and it's gone all the way to Europe at times, just in a big straight line. And what it did is it split the United States right in half. So from the northwest to the northern plains, we've been wet. It's been cold. In fact, like Washington State's about to set a record on the coldest spring that we've got. And then you go to the south of there into Texas, and it's been extremely hot. Same thing for Southern California. So I look at all of that, look at that path, and we've kind of been split right in the middle. And as a result, we've done okay around here on rainfall. We were late getting the crop in because of earlier bouts of cooler weather in April and May. But we leave the month of May with a bit of deficit. It's a deficit in GDUs. It's a deficit in the progress of getting this crop up and out of the ground. In fact, I was looking at it yesterday from satellite. Our NDVI imagery looks horrible because the satellites are seeing black dirt, not green plants yet. So we look at all these things and say, when does this season get going? When do we pour some heat into the crop? And when does it jump out of the ground? And when do our friends in the north actually finish planting? Because they're way past their insurance dates and they're continuing to have problems because it's still cold there now this week and the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, cold there now, what do these next 2 weeks look like across the Corn Belt?
That same jet stream is cranking up. I mean, it's still there. It's not slowing down. It's not split, broken. It's just moving across the Pacific and targeting Oregon, essentially. And then it comes into the middle part of the United States. So, you know, when it does that, it brings rain to the plains. It brings rain to the Midwest. We're going to get rain late this weekend and into Monday around here. And it's going to bring multiple chances for storms around our area, which for anybody that's got a crop in the ground, fine, it's great. But we do need to put some heat on this crop at some point and get it going in the month of June. And I don't see any extended time periods of above normal temperature right now. All the heat's south. It's going to come back to Texas and parts of California. And by the way, We're going to be watching a tropical system hit Florida late this weekend. First one of the year, gets that name Alex. Should only be a tropical storm, but we got to start watching that now too. But these next couple of weeks, just put it on wash, rinse, repeat. It's the same cycle we've been in for much of the month of May.
What does it look like if you extend it out for the rest of the summer?
Well, this is the tricky part. We keep kicking the can down the road on the risk for drought. I would have thought that already by the beginning of June, I would have seen the jet stream retreat north, break up, and slow down, which is what lends us to getting the stuck atmospheric flow patterns, the big ridges. Haven't seen it yet. We're going to have to wait until maybe the third or fourth week of June to see if we evolve into a summer pattern. The models all say, bring back the drought risk in the central plains and western Corn Belt. Bring back the heat to the central plains and the western Corn Belt, which is the area we've been worried about. But, we keep seeing the models. Question is, when does it actually materialize? Just keeps seeming to get pushed farther and farther down the road. But with a late crop, everything's pushed farther down the road. So we still sit on this edge of there could potentially be problems. But I'm sitting back saying, well, I'm waiting to see the pattern change to actually give us that.
It's a unique La Nina.
It is. It's very strong in the month of May and into early June. And it's what's unique about that is most times La Ninas fade in spring. So I look back, I'm searching for a good analog here. None exist. I haven't seen a La Nina do kind of like what this one's doing in its relationship to the jet stream and the Atlantic Ocean. So I feel very unconfident, which is, I guess, the way meteorologists feel every day anyway. But I just have no confidence right now in where this pattern's going to go in the month of June. I think I'll just be sitting back watching it slowly evolve and just hoping that I can communicate it out as soon as we see the changes.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep, you bet.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible and joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org, WILLAG.org.